Okay, today's daf is Nun Hey. We're just going to review for a quick minute. I wanted to, after class we were talking about, so I wanted to say it on the recording, that the whole sugya about the David and Shlomo, the David and Shmuel figured out where the Beit HaMikdash is supposed to be is part of a broader sugya about the Karaim and those who took the Torah Shebichtav very seriously and not the Torah Shebaal Peh, and they claim, and you know, today we see the Shomronim who claim that it's the holy place, HaMakom Asher Yivchar, which is never mentioned in the Torah. We have a Masoret that it's Yerushalayim, and this is one of those sugyot that tries to prove it, whereas the Shomronim claim it's Har Gerizim and Har Eval, that's where the holy places are, and you can see that from the Torah, that we're commanded to do things there, and the Brachot and the Klalot, etc. So it's part of a bigger machloket, and this is just one of those sources which was trying to strengthen the argument of the rabbis and show sources for it, so to speak, because as we know, the sources weren't so clear-cut, but to try to take psukim and prove their point from the psukim. Okay, so we saw the Mishnah, I'll just quickly review it. Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur v'Ashamot. So Shalmei Tzibur are the shlamim that we bring with the korban of the Shtei Alechem on Shavuot. It's specifically shlamim that were communal shlamim. Generally, they're individual. These are communal ones. Ve'ashemot, we saw Asham Gzelo, Me'ilo, Shevcha Charufa, Nazir, Metzora, Asham Talui. So all those, you do them in the north, right? The Shchita is in the north, Kibul Damam is in a Klisharet, and in the north, Damanta un Shtei Matanot Shein Arba, you do the two opposite Kranot, right? The ones where there was a Yesod below them, and you do it in a way that it gets on all four walls. Again, we saw Machlok at Rav and Shmuel. Is it that you actually stand at each corner? So you do two standings, but you actually put on all four walls while you're at those two. You put, you know, one you put on those two walls and the other one you put on the other two walls. Or does it mean that you actually, that you just throw it on one wall on an angle so that it'll drip on the other wall? V'nechalim lefnim v'naklaim. That has to be in the Azara, okay, the Zichrei Kuna, only the Zicharim of the Kohanim. Today we're going to see that certain Matznot Kuna were eaten, the things, right, these are all things that the Kohanim eat, because the people didn't eat the Ashem or the Shalmei Tzibur. But when the Kohanim get to eat things, there's certain things that just the male Kohanim get to eat, and there's certain things that the women and the children get to eat also. And they're Avadim, they're slaves, which means they're Avadim Knanim. You could cook it anyway. We'll see this differentiates between these and the next ones that we're going to see, where these are eaten that day and the night. And then again, you really have also the morning, but the Chachamim say only till Chatzot, as opposed to other ones where you'll have 2 days, basically, in the night. Okay, Gemara starts out. Minalan debayit safon. How do we know that these need safon? Specifically, we're talking about the Shalmei Tzibur. Because we already learned out the Ashem and Safon previously. Rabba Bar Rav Hanan Kamed Detane Rabba Bar Rav Hanan Kamed De Rava. Rabba Bar Rav Hanan taught in front of Rava this source, this Tanaitic source. Vasitem Seirizim Echad L'Chatat. Okay, this is the pasuk when it talks about what we bring on Chag Shavuot to the Shalmei Tzibur. Okay, it's exactly our pasuk, the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. So you do Seirizim Echad L'Chatat Ushnei Kvasim Bnei Shana L'Zevach Shlamim. Okay, you take two kvasim to bring zevach shlamim. So what does he claim? Notice what's in the pasuk next to each other, the chatat and the zivchei shlamim. Ma chatat b'tzafon, af shalmei tzibur b'tzafon. Now this might sound a little strange to you, because every time, it's one thing to make a hekesh and say, okay, when we said last time, it said, we'll do it in the same place. So that was a more obvious one. Here, we're just taking, because the two korbanot were mentioned next to each other, so we're going to learn from one to the other, which is quite strange, as we know, we're familiar somewhat with the korbanot of all the chagim, because we say them in Musaf all the time. And they always put a bunch of, all the psukim have this one next to that one. So they're going to, Rava's going to ask on him and say, Amar le Rava. So he has a different question, actually, but later we'll get to that question. Amale Rava, v'chi chatat mehechalamda me'ola. Chatat, the fact that chatat is in the tzafon, we have another problem. Chatat's in the tzafon, we only learn from ola. So where is this going to go? That's a hekesh, and now we're making another hekesh, and you can't make a hekesh on a hekesh when it comes to kodshim. Davar lamei behekesh, chozer lamei behekesh. You can't do that. So therefore, he rejects what Rabba Bar Rav Hanan said. Ella miditane Rav Mary Bereja Rav Kahana. So now we're going to learn it from here. from the fact that Rav Meir b'Rei Rav Kahana has a different source. Al olotechem v'al zivchei shalmechem, ma ola kodshe kodshim, af zivchei shalmei tzibur kodshe kodshim. So now he's going to say, just like the ola, okay, this is a pasuk about, this is in, when do you blow on the chatzotzrot? If you remember in Yom Bibar, it tells you in all the following situations you're going to blow the chatzotzrot. So it says, "Ubiyom simchatchem ubmoadechem uberashechat shechem utkatem b'chatzotzrot al olotechem va'al zivchei shalmechem." So here come our zivchei shlamim, and they say you're supposed to blow the chatzotzrot for them. So now they say, "Ma ola." So now we're going to compare the ola to the zivchei shlamim because they're mentioned in this pasuk next to each other. Ma ola kodshe kodshim afzilchei shalmei tzibur kodshe kodshim ma ola b'tzafon afzilchei shalmei tzibur b'tzafon. So now they're going to say, since ola and zivchei shlamim are the same, that they're kodshe kodshim, and since ola is done b'tzafon, and it's mentioned this pasuk right next to us, so now we can learn directly a hekesh instead of a hekesh on a hekesh, because we can learn it from the original halacha of ola, which ola says in, it's in the tzafon specifically in the pasuk. So now, just one second. Okay. They assume, by the way, that the zivchei shlamim mentioned here, zivchei shlamim could be any zivchei shlamim, which could be individual zivchei shlamim. So they say here that there's an assumption that because they're mentioned with the chatzotzrot, that they need shir, and only kodshei kodshim go with the shir. There were shirim that went with korbanot, but only with, they at least I saw a claim, that only with korbanot zibur was their shir, and therefore it's obvious that the zivchei shlamim mentioned here are kodshei kodshim. Okay, meaning if they're kodshei kodshim, then they're talking specifically about these zivchei shlamim that were done on Shavuot, which are the ones that we're referring to. Okay, so we had, let's just review where we started. We tried to bring a hekesh between the series of Mechad L'Chatat next to, mentioned right next to the zivchei shlamim on Shavuot. We said, no, you can't learn Din Tzafon there because it's a hekesh from a hekesh. So then we brought it from Ola. We found the pasuk by Chatzotrot to learn it directly from Ola. Then the Gemara is going to now say, well, what do we do with the hekesh? Because they're not going to, they think there's still a hekesh that can be made from the Chatat and the Zivchei Shlamim. So they say, Ela hekesh hakama, the first hekesh we mentioned about the Chatat, lemaya, so what's it coming for? So they say, ki Chatat. Ma, it's like a Chatat. Ma Chatat eina ne'echelet ela lezichrei kehuna, af Zivchei Shlamei Tzibur lezichrei kehuna. Say, what's it coming to teach you? That we know the chatat is only eaten by the male kohanim. That's the din of chatat. Shlamim are generally eaten by the people. The fact that the zivchei shlamim, these specific ones, are mentioned right next to chatat, comes to teach that they also can only be eaten by the zichrei kuna. And even if you knew they could only be eaten by the kohanim, still you might not have known that they could be eaten by the only by the zichrei kuna. And that's to tell you that it's only the zichrei kuna. Now Abaye is going to have a bit of a problem with this hekesh. Amar le Abaye, ihachi gabe el nazir. And now he's going to say what I said earlier, which is, we can make these hekeshim every time we have a list of korbanot, we're going to make these hekeshim. By the way, this leads back to a question that, that people were asking. I'll go back to something also. Sometimes things are said after class that don't always, not everybody hears because we're not recording anymore at that point. So there was another question that came up that why is this Masechet, we've talked about this before, why is this Masechet full of drashot? So one time after class, someone was asking me, and I started thinking about it, and I was thinking that maybe my theory is that in general, when it comes to, and it's here, what do we have? We have all these situations that the rabbis are discussing, but they're not actually practicing them. Generally, when we talk about things that are going on, we can look outside and see what people are doing. There's even, right, puk chazen ma'amadavar, right? Go look at what the people are doing. Or, you know, we know basic dine kashrut, we know basic, you know, all those things were known. They watched people do them, they've been passed down for generation to generation. But the issues surrounding the korbanot, there was no longer a Beit HaMikdash. And all they had were the psukim and some mesoret that was left, but already, I mean, the whole reason why they started writing down the Torah Shabbat Peh was that things were getting lost. So you can imagine that in things they weren't practicing at all, things were getting even more lost. And they didn't have so much mesoret to hang on to. So what they had to do was look at the psukim. And that was all that was left for them to darshan were these psukim and figure out, well, you know, what do we think? How many remezim can we find in the psukim? What can we do with this? Can we learn it? Can we learn it? And that's why I think that the Masechet is mostly based on drashot rather than on, you know, logic, knowledge. I mean, these are logical, but logic within the psukim. Okay, so now they're going to say, Ihachi gabe el nazir dechtiv. So now we're going to take another case where we have two psukim mentioned in the verse right next to each other. So el nazir, okay, the nazir has to bring, let's just review, three korbanot. He brings a keves leola, a kivsa lechatat, and an ayah leshlamim. Okay, so we're now going to talk about the el nazir, which is a korban shlamim. It says, v'yikrivet korbanot la'ashem keves ben shnato tamim, echad leola, v'kivsa achad ben shnatat tmima lechatat, v'ayah lechad tamim leshlamim. So you see all three are mentioned in the same verse. So according to you, that you can make a hekesh between those things. So hachanami neima, right here we're going to say also, de kisha katuv lechatat, there's a chatat in the pasuk, and there's a shlamim. Are we going to say that ma chatat ena ne'echelet ele lezichrei kuna, af el nazir nami eno ne'echal ele lezichrei kuna? If you want to take your hekesh, Rabbi, and say hekesh means, oh, it's mentioned next to chatat, it can only be eaten like the chatat. Well, here's this el nazir, which says explicitly in the pasuk that anyone can eat it. So if anyone can eat it, not only the kohanim, then how can you possibly, if you have a hekesh, it's next to chatat, anytime it's next to chatat, we say, oh, it's only the zichrei kuna. That obviously makes no sense. So they say, okay, so Rava is going to answer, Hachi hashta? You can't compare the El Nazir because hatam kevan dichtiv. Oh, by the way, it doesn't say explicitly that anyone can eat it, but what does it say? And this is going to be anytime there's going to be this assumption. If it says that you give part of it to the Kohen, what's obviously implied, the rest of it can be eaten by everybody else. Okay, so therefore, they say, Kevan dichtiv alakach ha-kohen et hazroa b'sheila min ha-ayil, he takes the zroa, okay, in addition, by the way, he gets, in general, the kohen gets in korbanot shlamim, the chazeh and the shok, hayamin, and he also, right, the chest, and the left, the right, what do you call it, the shok, the thigh, okay, the right thigh, and in the el nazir, he also gets the zroa, the arm, okay? Which is obviously the front leg, right? Not the back. Michlal de kule balim achlele. Okay? So now they say, so obviously, in other words, you might have made the hekesh, but the pasuk says explicitly. So therefore, in theory, you could have made the hekesh, but so the pasuk explicitly says, no, that's not the case. Therefore, not. So then they say, but you could still say, okay, now who gets to eat the zroa b'sheila? Any kohanim, not just the zcharim. So comes Abai and he says, well, still, you could say, zroa b'sheila mi'a lo li'tachel ele zichrei kuna. Maybe it's saying, if you want to make this hekesh, so you could say the hekesh is to the part that the kohen gets to eat, it's only zichrei kuna, just like the chatat. And that we also know is not true, because we know, and we're going to see it in the next Mishnah, that you can, the Nashim, the Banim, and the Avadim get to eat it also. So therefore, we end with Akasha against Rava. Rava's Shita doesn't make so much sense. What was his Shita? That we're going to take that Chatat, Zivchei Shlamim Hekesh, and learn from it that it's only Lizichrei Kuna. Because in the end, Abaye says, if you want to learn it to El Nazir, and even if you certainly can't learn it to the El Nazir itself, maybe just to the Zroa, and that also isn't true.
You know, it's interesting. There are only Zichrei Kuna. Women are not Kohanot.
No.
Or
but what
I mean, they're wives.
No, but what it no. What does it mean? It's right.
It's like redundant almost.
No, because we're gonna see all sorts of things can be eaten by the Kohen's family and anyone who lives in his house, just like Truma. Truma gets eaten by everybody in the Kohen's house. That's exactly the distinction we're making. Zichrei Kuna means only the male Kohanim above the age of 13.
And you're active.
Right, right. One's working in the Mikdash. And anyone else would be his family, which gets to eat other things. There's certain things that only go to him. And there's certain, like the chatat. The chatat is only eaten by the zichrei kuna. That was what we learned in the last mission. The zichrei shlamei tzibor and the ashamot also are only eaten to the zichrei kuna. Okay, but the next section is going to be eaten also by the people. Okay, v'i bayit ema, you could say, kodshei ikre, kodshei kodshim lo ikre. You could say that the reason why the El Nazir is different is because it's Kodshim and it's not Kodshe Kodshim. If it was Kodshe Kodshim, like the Chatat, it's only for the Zichrei Kuna. But since it's Kodshim only, therefore it's different and it doesn't have that same halacha. And again, the Zivchei Shlamei Tzibur are Kodshe Kodshim. And that's why, in other words, when can you make this Hakesh? When you have two things in the same pasuk that are at the same level. So they're both Kodshe Kodshim, but not just kodshim, which is the El Nazir, in which case you could say, Abai, your question is coming out of left field. It's comparing two things that are not comparable. But two things that are comparable, because they're both in the kodshim kodshim category, then you can compare and say it's only true for Zichrei Kehuna. Ve'ela l'may hilchata itkish. So according to Abaye, so for what reason are they, or is the chatat put next, in the El Nazir, why are all three of them mentioned in the pasuk next to each other? Now you might just think, well, how else are you going to say you have to bring three korbanot, right? Maybe three separate pasukim, I don't know. But anyway, they want to learn a halakha. Why, again, this is of the assumption that we can make these hekeshim. So it says, you bring a keves le'olah, kipsa l'chatat, el l'shlamim. In what way can we compare the three of them? Amarava, she'im gilach alakha mishloshtan yatsa. Okay, what do you do with the Nazir? He brings these three korbanot, then what does he do? He shaves off all his hair and he burns it. Okay, he burns his hair. So now, what happens? There's a halakha, it says, va'achar yishteh ha-nazir yayin. So there's two opinions here, but one opinion is, achar, why does it say achar? It should just say, and then, I don't know how you would say it, but ha-nazir yishteh yayin. Anyway, the fact that it says achar, they darshan to mean, even after one ma'aseh. Even if you only did one of the korbanot, okay? And then the assumption is, which korban would it be? It would be, okay, before, what were we trying to suggest? That we would learn from the other korbanot to the shlamim, from the chata to the shlamim. Now we're going to say the hekesh goes the reverse. We're going to learn from the shlamim to all the others. The shlamim, it says it has to be, shechted petach ol moed. And the giluach has to be done, petach ol moed. So they assume when they say that there's one ma'aseh that's going to work, that it means the shlamim. If you did the shlamim, that's enough to allow you to drink the wine. Comes the hekesh to say, well, not only the shlamim, but if you did any one of the other korbanot, let's say you only brought one of the korbanot, you'd already be allowed to drink the wine. Okay? That only one korbanot is ma'akev, the allowing your naziru to be, you'd be yotze. Okay, sorry, I didn't say it right. It's im gilach halacha mishloshtan. You have to do the giluach. But if you did the giluach after one of the korbanot, that would be enough to allow you now to be, as if you're yotze, your korbanot nazirut, and you'd be allowed to drink wine. Okay, new Mishnah. We're now in the next category. Hatodah ve'el nazir kodshim kalim. Until now, we've been dealing with kodshim kodshim. Now we're moving into kodshim kalim. So the Todah and the El Nazir, these are going to be different than the next category, mainly for, I think there's two things. Yeah, I think there's two things. Now I'm only remembering one, but when we get to the next mission, we'll see the other one. I think we'll see in a minute. But anyway, one of the main differences here is that these can only be eaten Le'yom V'Laila, whereas most Shlamim, you have 2 days to eat them. And this is only to be eaten that day and the upcoming night. So another similarity between the Todah and the El Nazir is that they both have a whole bunch of minachot that come along with them. The Todah is brought with 4 types of mincha offerings, and each is 10 loaves, so it ends up with 40 loaves. They're made b'kikim and rivuchim and different types of flour offerings. And the El Nazir, the El Nazir is also similar. It's got 2 types and 20 loaves, okay? Each is 10. Okay, so they both also have these loaves of mincha associated with them. They're both kodshim kalim, shchitatam bechol makom, you can shech them anywhere, ba'azara, okay, anywhere in the azara, we're going to get to all the details of that today. V'damant sha'un shtei matanot shein arba, same thing with the 2 matanot, same location. V'ne'echalim bechol ha'ir, it can be eaten in the whole city of Yerushalayim. Lechol adam, anyone can eat them. Bechol ma'achal, in any way you want to cook them. Liyom v'layla ad chatzot, okay, only for that day. V'hamura mehem kayotze bahen. And all the matanot kuna that you take out of them, like the chazen, the shoka yamin, and like we said with the El Nazir, also the zroa, all those have the same laws associated with them as the meat itself. Meaning, you can cook them any way you want, and they can be they only can be eaten le'yom v'layla. And right, so if you give this gift to the kohen, he has to eat it that day, basically. And they can be eaten. Did I say outside? Right, in Yerushalayim. And right, that's it. The 3 things. Ela shahamuram ne'echal lekohanim l'nishem ulbneim ulavdehem. And unlike the previous Mishnah, whatever gifts the kohanim get from here, anyone in their household can eat it. Tanu rabanan. So now we're going to start with a bright. Et chazet nufa ve'et shokat truma tochlu b'makom tahor. Okay, this is during the Miluim. They were told that, by the way, I forgot to say, these are kochim kalim, which means they don't have a din of me'ila. Remember we said in the previous one, when it said these are kochim kalim, Rashi said they have a din of me'ila. These don't have a din of me'ila, except for when? If you remember, what happens with this meat? So, right, the meat gets, right, however, there's certain, the meat you get to eat, but there's certain parts that get burned, the imurim get burned on the mizbech. Those things that get burned on the mizbech have a din of me'ila once they start getting burned on the mizbech. Okay, so at that point, they have a din of me'ila also. Okay, so now, et chazah ha'tnufa ve'et shok ha'truma tochlu b'makom tahor. Amar Rabbi Nechemia, v'chi rishonim b'tum'ah chalum, and what does this mean, tochlu b'makom tahor? What, the ones before them were in b'tum'ah? Okay, the ones before them are, this is, by the way, it's talking about on the eighth day of the Miluim, and they're talking about all the matanot that the Kohanim got from the korbanot shlamim that were brought in the Miluim. There were all sorts of korbanot brought in the Yamim HaMiluim. The Yamim HaMiluim were the days that they consecrated the Mishkan in the time of Moshe. So on the eighth day, right, that's Parshat Shmini, Vayabi Yom HaShmini. So they took all these korbanot. So the Rishonim was the Seir Chatat. Okay, so now they say when it comes to the matanot that the Kohanim get to eat, it was the Seir Chatat and the Mincha that came. There was a mincha also mentioned there, the minchat ha-miluim. So now they're saying, what, the rishonim b'tum'ah chalum? Ela, what does it mean, tochlu b'makom tahor, these matanot ke'una? What do we learn from this? Ela tahor michlal shehu tameh. It's a tahor that's not exactly tahor. Okay? What does that mean? Tahor mitumat mitzorah v'tameh mitumat zav. First of all, notice it says tochlu b'makom tahor. Makom is describing what place you can eat it. So the place has to be tahor. But they're saying the fact that we don't need it to tell you tahor means it must be, well, it's a somewhat tahor place. What does it mean, somewhat tahor? Tahor meaning who can eat there and who can't eat there, meaning which area are we talking about? We talked about before that in the Mishkan there was Machane Shechina, which in the Mikdash was the Kodesh Kodeshim and that area, and the Kodesh. Then we had the Machane Leviah, which is the Azarot. And then we had the Machane, and the whole Harabai, really. And then we had the Machane Yisrael, which is parallel to Yerushalayim. So the question is, and there were different people who were Tamei who could go to different places, right? So what do they say? Tahor mitumat mitzorah v'tamei mitumat zav. Okay, it means that zav is not allowed to go there, but a mitzorah can go there. Where can the mitzorah go? You remember? He can go into, remember he would stand and stick his ear in his hand. He can go into the Azarot. He just can't go into the inner area, which is actually, it's not even the Heichal. It's even before the Heichal. It's past Shaar Nikanor. Okay? So, what does it say? That's where these can be eaten. Okay? Makom Tahor, right? The Eze Zeh, Zeh Machane Yisrael. Okay? So now it's telling you, right, with the, I'm sorry, I hope I'm reading this right, with the Tamei Mi. One second, we want to get to here that it's, right, it's Tamei Mitumat Mitzorah, right, that the Mitzorah
is not going to be there.
Can be there. Right, this, okay, sorry, it's the Mitzorah can't be there and the Zav can be there, but the Mitzorah, they want to get to the Yerushalayim, no, isn't that where we're getting to? What?
This is not for a minute. Saying that it can eat anywhere in Israel, it can't be in the desert.
Right, which means even in Israel, even in the whole Yerushalayim, you can eat it. So 1 minute, I'm misunderstanding something. Makom shu tahor mitumat zav, that the zav can't go there, but the tahor mitumat mitzorah, the mitzorah can't go, but the zav can. Ah, right, sorry, my mistake. I confused the Mitzorah. The Mitzorah we were talking about is a Mitzorah who already did his Tara procedure. He's just Mechusar Kippurim. That's what confused me. But a Mitzorah has to be Michutz LaMachaneh. Remember, the Mitzorah, if he's a Mitzorah and hasn't gone through the Tara process, that's what threw me off, the Mitzorah has to be totally outside the camp, meaning he can't even be in Yerushalayim at all. Mitzorahim couldn't be in Yerushalayim. I'm actually in the middle of some book. It's about a leper camp in Greece that existed in the early part of the 1900s. So it's interesting, right? Lepers are always kept out because they're very contagious. So the lepers couldn't be in Yerushalayim, but the Zavim, if you're Zav, you can be, you just can't go to Har HaBayit. So that's what it's trying to say, okay? So you can eat it anywhere where the Metzorim can't be, but the Zavim could be. Okay, and that's Machane Yisrael. Ve'ema, why don't you suggest, if it's going to say partly, maybe you could do a different line, draw the line in a different place, which is Tahor Mitumat Zav, Vitame Mitumat Met, Ve'ezezeh, Zeh Machane Leviya. Okay, why don't you say that the Zav, it's places where the Zav can't go in, which is Har HaBayit, but a Tamei Mate would be allowed to go in. Okay? And that's Machane Leviya. Okay? And that's where they could go into Har HaBayit. So why don't you say that? And then it would mean that you can only eat these Matanot Kehuna in the Har HaBayit area. So Amar Abaye, okay, we're going to learn it from a different place. Then Amar Kra, V'achaltem ota b'mekom kadosh, ota b'mekom kadosh, below acheret b'mkom kadosh. Okay, now we're talking about the mincha, okay, the mincha tamiluim that they would eat. It says there, you eat the mincha miluim b'makom kadosh. So what do you learn from here? Only that has to be b'makom kadosh and not something else. So how does this work? He says, below acheret b'mkom kadosh, that's afka l'machane leviyah. So already we learned that that's b'makom kadosh. We already say, that's Kodesh Kodeshim, this mincha of the Miluim. That has to be eaten in the Machane Shechina. Already, we removed this the Matnot Kehuna from the Miluim to the Machane Leviya. And then, Hadar Ktiv B'makom Tahor, Afka L'Machane Yisrael. So we have two Yitziot. We basically started, in theory, you could be in the inside. One was only that could be eaten in the Kodesh. And Mekom Tahor excluded us another place. It kind of jumped us out that therefore we're not, it actually is better. You can eat it even in Machane Yisrael. Rava Amar, Ota Bimkom Kadosh, Belo Acheret Bimkom Kadosh. Rava says this, he gets the same conclusion, but from a different way. He says when he says Ota Bimkom Kadosh, Belo Acheret Bimkom Kadosh, Afka Legamre. It means you can't even eat it even in, if you wanted to, even in Yerushalayim. In other words, you're totally out. This, the Miluim, the Mincha Miluim gets eaten in the Makom Kadosh. And everything else can be eaten anywhere you want. You can eat it anywhere. You don't need any, there's no criteria. Hadar Ktiv Rachmana Tochlub Makom Tahor, Ayla L'machane Yisrael. So then, when it says Makom Tahor, it's the opposite now. Makom Tahor comes to say, no, it has to be in a Makom Tahor. So now we're going to bring it in one level. And what level are we going to go into? Machane Yisrael in Yerushalayim. So then they say to Rava, that's not a good answer, because Ema Ayla L'machane Leviya. You could say, once you're jumping it out entirely, you could jump it in entirely or jump it in partway, and it's why specifically there. You could have said, has to be in the Machane Leviya. So what are the answer? L'chadam Ailin, L'tarte lo Ailin. No. If you're going to bring it in one way, you can only bring it in one step. You can't bring it in two steps. So Ihachi Afuke Nami, L'chadam Afkina, L'tarte lo Mafkina. So they say, well, if that's the case, how'd you jump him all the way out in one fell swoop, right? You said, oh, this in Kodesh, and not that. That went out entirely. It flipped. Three machane, really, you know, not machane Leviya, not machane Shechina, not machane Israel, right? Out entirely, you basically did two outs. That's number one question. Va'od lo tucha b'sharecha k'tiv. It says, when it talks about all sorts of things like Maser Sheni and other things, it says you can't eat these anywhere you want. They're kochim kalim. They do have some level of sanctity, so there's no way you could have jumped it all the way out. There was no way, even in theory, right? And as in practice, they bring it back in. But there was no way in theory to jump it all the way out and say you could eat it anywhere, because we know the kochim kalim have to be eaten at lefachod in Yerushalayim. So therefore, elam chavrata kedabaye. Okay, so Rav is about jumping it all the way out and then bringing it back in. Doesn't make any sense. We go back to Abaye, who says one exclusion comes to exclude it, ota, and not these. These can be eaten even in the Machane Leviya. And then the Makom Tahor jumps it out another level, which says it can be eaten even in Yerushalayim. Okay, shlamim, kodshim, now we're up to a new Mishnah. Shlamim, okay, regular shlamim, kodshim kalim, or kodshim kalim. Shchitatam b'chol makom, you can check them anywhere, bazara. V'daman ta'un, again, right, the shchitatam b'chol makom means not tzafon, which all the others were only tzafon. So, both the previous Mishnah and this Mishnah, all kodshim kalim, shchitatam b'chol makom, and the azara. Daman ta'un, shtei matanot shein arba, v'nechalim b'chol ha'ir, it could be in the whole city of Yerushalayim, l'chol adam, b'chol ma'achal, right? Any person, any way you want to eat it. L'shnei yamim v'layla echad. Okay, here's that difference. 2 days and one night. Hamuram mehem kayotze bahen. And anything you take out of it is the same. Ela shamuram ne'achal l'kohanim l'nishahem u'levneem u'la'avdehem. Okay, so there really was only that one difference. Okay, I thought that maybe there were two, but it's only one. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Now when it comes to, if you remember we talked about the Ola, there's Imin HaBakar, the Imin HaTzon, the Shlamim has the same thing. Perek Gimel of Vayikra starts with the Shlamim, and it says, and Imin HaTzon, it's got, I don't remember the order here, Min HaBakar, Min HaTzon, and Min HaYizim. There's three, right? You can bring it from this animal, that animal, that animal. And each time it says a very similar thing about the Shechita. So we're going to now read the three verses that appear, one in the Bakar, one in the Tzon, and one in the Yizim, all doing relating to Shlamim. V'shachato petach ol moed, v'shachato lufnei ol moed, v'shachato lufnei ol moed. So it says, by this, right, all of them the same thing. Lachshir et kol aruchot b'kodshim kalim. They're going to learn from this pasuk that it allows you to do in any place you want in the mikdash, okay? Any direction, any, by the way, you can pass out the maps, we're going to need them. Any area, tzafon, darom, mizrach, marav, right, all the areas are allowed. So now, how do we exactly get this from here? It's not so clear how we get it from the fact that it says it in three places, and we're going to see the three places are darshan for other things. But it's going to imply, it seems that, because it doesn't say kineged, if it said kineged petach ol moed, what would you have assumed? Only the area right outside the ol moed, right? In other words, imagine if you walk out of the hechal, and you draw a line, you know, on your sides, and you basically say, just this area right opposite the ol moed. The fact that it doesn't say keneged, but it says petach, it means anywhere the ol moed opens. What area will that give us? Okay, that will give us, basically, this whole area outside the ol moed, right, from basically the exit to the ulam, all the way to the end of the Ezrat Kohanim. What doesn't it give us exactly from there? All the area, the hechal was much narrower than the room. What about the areas on the sides? Okay, that's going to be a bit of an issue here, how we get that you can do shechita there. And there's a third location, I don't know if we'll manage to get there today, but at the very end of the daf, behind the Kodshei Kodshim didn't go all the way to the wall. There was a narrow area here, it's called Acharei Beit HaKaporet, okay, on your map, where there was a little space there that we're going to see you could also do shechita there. I don't know if there was enough space to do it technically, but maybe there was. I forget how, maybe it's actually 11 amot? It could be. It was a big space.
It says 11 amot.
Okay, so it was 11 amot. So that's a big enough space to do a shechita. Okay. So we now see all three psukim show that all directions. Mekodshim kalim. So now they say, kavachomer latzafon. Okay, why don't you say, mekodshim kalim, kavachomer latzafon. Why don't you make a kavachomer? Uma kodshe kodshim shelo huchshiru b'chol aruchot, huchshiru b'tzafon, Kodshim kalim shukshiru b'chol aruchot ein odin shukshiru b'tzafon. So now, or you should say it like this, right? Now they're going to say, we can make a kal v'chomer. I didn't read it right. I read it more as a question. It's actually a comment that not only is it all the directions, you might have thought, what's the chiddush here? But it's even in the tzafon. How do we know it's b'tzafon? Because if kodshim were only allowed in the tzafon, if these are allowed everywhere, then obviously they're also allowed in the tzafon. Now you might say, isn't that really obvious? Why would you think to limit it not to the tzafon? So we're going to see that Rabbi Eliezer says the opposite. Omer, lo ne'emar katuv elelach shir tzafon. The pasuk here was trying to tell you, when it says kenega petach ol moed, was telling you that it's lach shir b'tzafon. Why? She'yakol v'halodinu. You might have thought that maybe it's not allowed in the tzafon. Why would you have thought that? Uma kodshim kalim shukshiru b'chol aruchot lo hukshar mekoman etzal kodshei kodshim. Kodshim kalim are allowed everywhere. But the location where they're allowed, meaning everywhere, is not allowed for kodshei kodshim. Because only tzafon is allowed for kodshei kodshim. Therefore, kodshei kodshim shelo hukshiru ela b'tzafon ein odin shelo hukshar mekoman etzal kodshim kalim. Wouldn't you assume then if kodshei kodshim were only allowed in the tzafon, that there, and I'm going to say it a particularly worded in a particular way to make the most sense, therefore, only there is allowed for kodshei kodshim, but their location is not allowed for anything else. Now, what would be the reason? Because if we allow, imagine there's a lot of kohanim working in the mikdash at the same time. You can see it from the picture. It's actually interesting. I showed some people the pictures in the Beit HaMikdash book. You can look after. But when they show, or you can look now, when they show, like we saw a picture of sprinkling, and there are a bunch of kohanim at the same time sprinkling the blood. There's a lot of things going on. If kodshei kodshim is limited to the tzafon, then we should make sure the kodshim kalim don't go there because then there's no room for people to be sacrificed in the kodshei kodshim. So, and as that area is designated for just those. So you might have thought that comes the pasuk to teach you. No, in fact, you could do it everywhere. Okay. Now, one second. Okay. Tamud Lomar, therefore it says, Ohel Moed. Okay, therefore it says, Ohel Moed, to teach you that. Okay, now we're going to see exactly where we get it from. Okay, B'mai Kamifliya. What's the machloka between them? Tanakama Savar, Tal Tekrai Ktive. And this is how you read the three psukim. Chad Legufe, Dinibai Petach Ohel Moed. We're now going to see why you need to say it in all three psukim. One is to teach you that you need Petach Ohel Moed. What does that mean, you need Petach Ohel Moed? You need the Ohel Moed to be open, okay? If there was a door there and it was closed by a door, that wouldn't be good. If, Rashi says, for example, if you're in the Mishkan and they took apart the Mishkan to travel and then they put it back together again, but they hadn't yet put together the Heichal, you're not allowed to do Korbanot Shlamim. Korbanot Shlamim can only be done when there is an Ohel Moed, there is a Heichal, you know, an area, and it's open. Okay? That's what it teaches you. The second reading, you know, the second pasuk, Chad lahachshir tzedin, to tell you that it's not just Petach Ohel Moed, that narrow strip opposite the opening, you know, wherever the Heichal is, I think it's 30 amma wide, so a 30 amma area in front, or maybe it was about 30 amma, I forget the measurements, but it's not just that area opposite the Ohel Moed.
If the Mizbech was 32, then that has to be.
All right, it has to be bigger, yeah. Maybe it was 60? I forget. Okay. Yeah, it does say here now. I don't know. Anyway, whatever space that is coming from the Heichal going out, or maybe even you might say just the space opposite the Ulam, the entrance there. But it's not just that area. It's also the whole area over there. But what's it now coming to say? The third one? Chad lifsol tzidei tzedin. Okay, the next one is to say things all the way on the side are no good. Now, there's a debate whether Tosfot says we're talking about the parts on the side of the Heichal, although it's a little difficult because later in the sugya, Tosfot's going to have to explain the rest of the sugya differently because later in the sugya, we're going to see you can't do shechita there. Or Rashi says it's all these lishakot that are on the side. Okay, there's all these little rooms. Those rooms you can't do shechita in. Okay, those are the tzidei tzedin.
It just seems like such a mess up there.
Why is it a mess up? What's a mess up?
Doing sacrifices here and there, and somebody has to walk through, and then somebody's walking on the sobev, and if you, I don't know.
Well, no, these are all on the side of the mizbech. They're not anywhere near the mizbech. But there is a lot going on, right? Right. It does sound weird if you're going to allow shechita to be done. Look, you have to remember, what this means, this isn't how they operated. It's clear, because this Beit HaMitzvachayim, where all the rings were, that was where they did shechita. The point is here, really, what if you did shechita somewhere else? Would it be kasher or not? And if, right, for the kodesh kodeshim, it's not kasher if you did it anywhere else. And maybe there's time at a time when there's so much shechita going on that you have to spread out, like on a holiday when there's a million things going on. But it doesn't mean that that's where they were really doing it. They were really doing it in this Beit HaMitzvachayim, which is in the Tzafon. The question is it potentially, in theory, allowed if it's somewhere else?
It must have been really...
Right, it wasn't such a big space to... Again, it depended on how many sacrifices were going on at once. That's why I also remember there was a din of tashlumin. You were allowed to... yes, in theory, you were supposed to do the korbanot chagiga the first day, but if you didn't do them, you have more days to do it because there was no way they could have done all those sacrifices at once. Okay, so that's the first opinion. That's how we darshan the first three, and what you see here is he doesn't get to Rabbi Lezer, who says, and as he doesn't think you need a special limud lachshir tzafon, right? But Rabbi Eliezer thinks, because he said it was all a kavachomer, Rabbi Eliezer thinks, no, you need a special limud, so therefore he's going to have a pasuk lachshir tzafon, and he's going to get rid of one of the ones that Tana Kamas knows. Rabbi Eliezer sabar chad legufe, dinibai petach ohel moed, okay, he agrees with the first one, chad lachshir tzafon, one to allow tzafon, v'chad lachshir tzedin. So now, where does he have that it's pasul in tzidei tzedin? He says very simply, tzidei tzedin lo itzrich kra. Okay, so one thinks you don't need a pasuk for tzafon, and one thinks you don't need a pasuk for tzidei tzedin. That's the basic machloka between them. But they both agree about the bottom line halacha. Maishna hacha dichtiv petach ohel moed, umaishna hatam dichtiv lifnei ohel moed. What's the difference? Why one pasuk, the first pasuk we quoted, said petach ohel moed, and the other two said lifnei ohel moed? Shlamim that were slaughtered before they opened the doors of the Heichal are psulim. Okay, so that's that first halacha that we said was legufe, is dafka the pasuk about petach ol moed. They said instead of lifnei ol moed, they wanted to say petach ol moed, to know that it has to be patuach. Okay, it has to be opened. So then they say, now we're going to have some halachot about it, okay? So here it sounds like it's if it's locked, it's a problem. But now they're going to say, itmar nami, amar ukvar, barchama, amar rabbi yossi, rabbi chanina, shlamim sheshchatan, kodem shivtechu daltote, echal psulin, shneemar b'shachatu petach ol moed, bizman shepetach ol moed patuach, below bizman shu na'ul. Okay, so far we're just seeing the exact same thing. Someone else also said this halacha. In Israel, they had a different version. Amrav Yaakov bar Ad Acha, Amrav Ashi. Shlamim sheshchatan kodem shiyiftechu dlatot eichal psulin. Uba mishkan kodem shiyamidu leviyim et hamishkan. Ula achar sheyifreku leviyim et hamishkan psulin. Then they added here, it's not just that they have to be right before they open the doors to the eichal, but in the mishkan, it's before they set up the mishkan and after they took it apart, you were no longer allowed to do korbanot shlemi. Okay, they don't disagree. It's just he's adding what the corresponding thing was in the Mishkan. Now they're going to ask a question, which leads to all sorts of interesting halachic things about mechitzot in general, about things in a Beit Knesset. There's all sorts of halachot. For example, a minyan. Okay, if you want to count 10 people for a minyan, they have to be in the same space. So if they're, let's say someone's in the Ezrat Nashim, where they counted toward the minyan. Okay, if someone davens, let's say they want to daven on the other side, if there's like a curtain, is that considered a separate space? Okay, or for women, you might say, you know, are we in a different space in a shul if there's a curtain or a machitza or some sort of boundary? So they're going to say here, mugaf kina uldami. If the door was closed, it's like it was locked. In other words, now it just said locked. Until now, we use the word na'ul. But they're saying if the door is closed, it's as if it's locked. You can't do korbanot shlemi. But vilon mai, what if there was a vilon up? Okay? Curtain. I'm Rabbi Zera. Hu atzmo ein na'aseh ela kepetach patuach. Okay, he says, it's only, right, Rashi says here, what he means is, the vilon is only a petach patuach, meaning it's like an open door. You're supposed to, you know, it's something that's meant for going in and out of, as opposed to a closed door. And he says, Rashi says, "Litzniuta ba'alma avid." If they put up a curtain in the front of the Eichal, it was just to prevent people from looking in. It wasn't because of they didn't want people. I mean, right, the question is, what is a door in general? Is it not to look? And as litzniuta ba'alma, so people say from here you can get to mechitza. The mechitza is just litzniuta ba'alma, and it's not actually a real separation. And then there's no issue. Okay, so he answers the question like that. Govhomai, what was the gova of this? The gova of this mechitza, right? Oh, wait, 1 second. We go po here because now we're going to talk about.
I'm getting a mound or a block of wood across from the petach.
So the gova of if they were to do something,
if they were to put something there,
if they put something there, how high would it be for it to be considered a door? That's what we're saying. Right. If they put up some sort of piece of wood or something to block it, how high would it have to be considered that it would be closed? So they say it's interesting. Usually it's 10 tefachim, right? Or it depends what it is, but they say it's shmoneh. Okay? They say it's shmoneh amot high. Usually we talk about a machitza, like in all the sugyo with Sukkah and all that, right? 10 tefachim, but here they say 8 amot high. Okay? So now, how did they get this? I gave you the answer already, but we're going to see. Tashma, Ditanya, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Shnei pishpishin hayu bebeit ha-chalifot, v'govhan shmone, kedei lahachshir et ha-azara kula lachilat kodshe kodshim ulishchitat kodshim kalim. So now, what are they going to say? We're going to learn it from this source, which actually talks about something different. Okay? Look at the ulam. Okay? The ulam. Okay. We talked about this space on the side of the heichal, right? That's not opposite the ol moed. So now, what's the problem? You can't really do shechita there because it's not petach ol moed. So what did they do? The ulam is petach ol moed. That's the hallway in front of the heichal. So they made these openings that were 8 amod high. These openings in the Beit HaPishpishin, okay, the Beit HaPishpishin, or the Beit HaChalifot, right, they're called the Beit HaChalifot, the Shnei Pishpishin, or the opening, sorry, I was confusing the terminology. At the edges of the ulam, there were these two spaces, we've talked about them, where they would put knives. Those, there were these little cubby holes, and they were put not, oh no, the cubby holes were on the side there. Anyway, there were these two areas on the side that are not opposite the Heichal, right? They're jutting out because the Ulam is longer than the Heichal is wide. So those two areas, they made openings on either side to open it so that there's a petah from Olam Moed to these spaces. Now, it's tricky because when you look at this, you see that it's on an angle. But really, right now, they assume it's straight. It's like a straight line that leads out to that end and a straight line that leads out to that end. Soon we're going to see that it was actually angled. Okay? I see we're over. So we'll stop here for today. We'll pick up with this tomorrow. And tomorrow we'll learn why they were angled and how that allows shechita. And this was all to come up with what's the height that would be considered a mechitza. And they get it from what's the open space that we have to open in order to allow it to be petach ol moed was 8 amot. Okay? So we'll go back to this tomorrow.